You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So this morning at the Splendora campus, I was struggling a little bit with the message. Let me back up a little bit. This being the 4th of July weekend, and all of us, I'm sure, had some kind of celebration. Maybe you cooked some burgers and dogs on the grill. Maybe you went over and spent some time with friends or family. Maybe you just spent the day at home and maybe the evening listening to the fireworks. If you have a dog, that probably wasn't all that pleasant an experience for you, but we spent the weekend celebrating freedom and liberty. And all the while, not too far from us, up in the hill country along the Guadalupe, there were people spending that same time frame doing something completely different. Searching for their missing children, searching for their loved ones. Perhaps they were the ones clinging to a tree in the middle of that torrential flood, hoping for rescue. Perhaps it came, perhaps it didn't. And so for me, as I was trying to, I called Angela as I was on the way up here from Splendora this morning, and Angela was on the way from the house to here. I called her and I said to her, it just felt disconnected. Not that the message wasn't valid, it's just the message didn't really connect, and I was struggling to find a way for it to connect because there's a huge disconnect between what we were celebrating this weekend, I think, and what was going on elsewhere. And if we're realistic about it, what's going on elsewhere around the globe is often different from what we're doing here. And I never struggled with it in the same way. As we were over at some friend's house this weekend, Angela will tell you, I was disconnected from that because I was so consumed with, are they going to find another one alive? Are they going to find another one dead? And all I could see every time the faces of those children would come up on the screen is the faces of my own kids when they were that age, the faces of my granddaughters. And it just tore at my heart in such a way that the message that I had prepared, with the help of the Holy Spirit, by the way, the message that I prepared just seemed disconnected because the message that I had planned this morning and I actually preached down there in Splendora was about Paul's letter to the Galatians. And it talks about, you would think from the title in the New Revised Standard Version, it says at the top of Galatians 6, bearing one another's burdens. And I thought, oh, how appropriate. But what it was talking about, what that passage talks about, is helping those who sin by being the church to them. It's a different message from what's going on up in the hill country right now. Except that as the church, we're still to bear one another's burdens when we're down and struggling from the perspective of the one who's down. Does it matter how you got there, whether it was from your own devices or whether you got there because of things that are completely out of your control? When the weather hits and the storms come and the floods come and you are caught up in that and you're down and struggling, when you lift your hand up for help to your Abba Father, do you really care at that moment how you got there? I don't think so. Bottom line is, people that are struggling and need help, need help. And it doesn't matter how you got there. So the message, I think, correlates in some ways, and I'm going to go ahead and move forward with it, but I'm going to try to apply it to what's going on around us. You know, I mentioned that stuff that goes on around the globe, and we are part of the global Methodist movement. There's stuff going on. There's people that are listening to the sound of my voice via the podcast this morning that are hearing this message and have no idea where the Guadalupe River is, have no idea where Shepherd, Texas is, the things that they're going through, whether they're listening to it in secret, because if they got caught listening to it, it would mean terrible things for them, or if they're listening to it because there's not a church near them in wherever they are. Their circumstances are different than our circumstances. Did you know that this morning this message is going out? And I posted something about this on Friday, and this morning when I looked at it, it had increased. We're in 865 cities in 102 countries around the globe from this little sanctuary in Shepherd, Texas. That's not anything that I'm doing. That's the Holy Spirit saying the gospel message doesn't know any borders, and whatever circumstances the people around the globe are going through, it doesn't make any difference. The gospel message is for them. And so whatever I preach, as long as I preach from the Word of God, it applies no matter what you're going through. And so this message that Paul preaches to the church in Galatia in chapter 6 about bearing one another's burdens still applies whether you're up in Kerrville or here in Shepherd or in Tel Aviv, Israel, which is one of the new audiences we just got. And incidentally, at the same time that Tel Aviv's listening to it, so is Ramallah, Palestine, or Palestine. I guess it's Palestine if you're in Texas. It's Palestine if you're in the Middle East. Both audiences listening to it at the same time, with different perspectives and circumstances, and that's the way the Holy Spirit moves and works with regard to the Scripture. And so Paul talks to us this morning. He says, "My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves." Right, so Paul is saying it's not really about us at all. And if we have the idea that it is about us, we need to think again, because it's all about Him. He's saying if somebody falls into sin, we need to forgivingly restore them and save all our critical thoughts and comments. Keep those to ourselves. He's saying, stoop down and reach out to those who are struggling today, because that's what the church does. Share their burdens. And when we do that, we complete the law of Christ, Paul says. And he adds, just for good measure, if you think you're too good to do that, you need to think again. Because that is the purpose of the church. You know, when I think about it, we are quick as humans to be critical of people who fall short of our expectations. Where we think they ought to be, if they fall short of that, we're quick to criticize, aren't we? We are. Never mind that we all fall short of the glory of God, as Scripture tells us. As fallen humans living in a fallen and broken world, we have this natural tendency to kick a person when they're down. I mean, I'm just being realistic here. Now, you may be thinking, no, that's not me, but we've all done it. You see someone that's struggling and you think, they brought that on themselves. And that may be true. But then again, there may be circumstances that we're not aware of that have put them in a situation that's causing them to struggle. There but by the grace of God go I. Right? Paul's saying we need to resist that natural tendency, that temptation to criticize the shortcomings of other people. He's saying that instead, we need to reach down and lift them up. We need to help them move through their difficulties and circumstances. And we never know when we might find ourselves as the one on the ground looking to others for a kind word, a loving gesture to help us get up on our feet again. All fall short of the glory of God. It may not be your day to stumble today, but it's coming. It may not be your day for the floods to overtake you, but there are all kinds of floods in a fallen and broken world. Some are water and some are otherwise. It may not be your day, but it's coming. And we should remember, when people fall short, and they will, instead of criticizing, we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Sometimes stuff happens that's beyond our control. You know, I'm so thankful that we've sent two groups of kids to two different camp sessions and we got all of them back. I didn't think about it in those terms until this weekend. You just kind of expect, when you put your kids on the camp van or whoever's driving them to camp, and they go to camp, they have a good time, they learn about Jesus, they make a friend, and they come back and they tell you how much fun they've had. And that's camp. Has been for us for years, hadn't it? Now, granted, we're not on the Guadalupe River. We send our kids to a lake. But I guarantee you, for 100 years, people have been sending kids to Camp Mystic and fully expected that they would have a good time, make a friend, and come home. 15 we know of are not coming home, and 24 more are still missing. And that's just from one camp. We've got RV parks up and down the river. You've got other camps going on. There have been some beautiful stories of God's protection and grace. And there have been other stories that are tragic. And yet, God is still sovereign and in control. And I'd be lying if I said that that all of that makes complete sense to me. Because it doesn't. We all have questions, you know, why would somebody's kids come home and some not? I can tell you this. Each one of those kids, whether they survived or not, had a relationship with Jesus. Their faith carried them through, whether it carried them home to be with Jesus or carried them back home to their mother and father, their faith carried them. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Camp Mystic has been a Christian camp for years and years, a century of years. Paul says in verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4 of Galatians, everybody must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own load. What he's saying there in that verse is that we have to make a careful examination of who we are and the work we've been given, and then sink ourselves into that work. He says, don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of us must take responsibility for doing the very best that we can with our own life. I think circumstances sometimes play out in such a way that we discover what we're made of and who made us. Paul's saying that we need to spend time in self-examination and self-reflection so that we're sure that when our time comes to stumble, when the fallen, broken world suddenly breaks into our experience in such a way that we are prepared whatever comes. There's this wonderful passage Paul wrote to another church, the church in Corinth. And it's a discussion about marriage that it's in the middle of. It really has nothing to do with what we're talking about now, except that in the middle of that discussion about marriage, Paul talks about being the best you can be wherever God has you at that moment. Wherever you are when God calls you, wherever you are when you're in the midst of things that come upon you in this life, be the very best you can be in the moment. He says, however that may be, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God called you. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? We'll get to the meaning of that particular phrase in a minute. Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But obeying the commandments of God is everything. Let each of you remain in the condition in which you were called. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't be concerned about it. Even if you can gain your freedom, make use of your present condition now more than ever. For whoever was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed person belonging to the Lord, just as whoever was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of human masters. In whatever condition you were called, brothers and sisters, there remain with God. You know, I was thinking about that whole passage and trying to put it into simpler terms so we could all understand. And I boiled it down to one sentence. And the sentence is, bloom where you are planted. Bloom where you're planted. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your struggles, be the best that you can be in that moment. Because this is the relationship that we have with the living Christ. We have to be careful not to be self-reliant, but to be Christ-reliant. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be self-reliant. Be Christ-reliant. As we grow in the Word of God, as we increase in our Christ likeness, as we grow into the measure of the fullness of Christ, we have to be sure that we maintain our relationship with Jesus, and we do that through prayer, we do that through fellowship with our brothers and sisters, other believers, we do it through coming to church on Sunday, we do it through Bible study on Tuesday nights at 5:45 in the fellowship hall. There's dinner involved, you should come. We do it as we're about to do through Holy Communion. We do it through right living, through practicing scriptural holiness. And we do it through the sharing of all that Jesus taught us. We share Him with those who need Him. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you'll reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. In other words, don't be misled by anybody. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, that's what he will harvest. Person who plants selfishness, who ignores the needs of others, also ignores God. Those people will harvest a crop of weeds. All they'll have to show for their life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Holy Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. How we respond to the struggles of others, this is the bottom line. How we respond to the struggles of others as the church and as individual Christians is important. Now, I guarantee you that we are not as many as the Woodlands Methodist Church. When this body of Christ comes together in prayer for the struggles of others, which we're about to do, we don't lift up as many voices as even a Bible study in the Woodlands Methodist Church. Does that mean that our prayers have less value? Not even close to being true. Does that mean that our voices as a body of Christ in motion in this community are less powerful? No, because the Holy Spirit that lives in you and dwells among us is as powerful here as he is in the halls of the Woodlands Methodist Church. What's my point? The point is, when we plant seeds of faith, though they be small, God is the multiplier, and he will do with them great and mighty things, more than we can ever hope for or imagine. And so don't hesitate to lift up your prayers today for those who are struggling in this community and up in Kerrville. Paul says in verse 9, let us not grow weary in doing what's right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of everyone, and especially for those in the family of faith. We can't allow ourselves to get tired of doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up, if we don't quit. So every time we get the chance, we need to work for the benefit of everyone, starting with the people closest to us, in our own family, in our own community of faith, and allow that seed of faith to expand outward to reach 102 countries and 865 cities on 6 continents. You see how that works? Did any of us have any idea when we started to broadcast via podcast and live stream that we would be a global source of the gospel message of Jesus Christ to people in far off lands? No, I had no idea. But God is the God of the 2 fish and the 5 loaves, isn't he? God is a God who multiplies. If we just plant the seeds, we will reap the harvest. Now, the final verses of this passage of Scripture, Paul gives us some final admonitions and he gives us a benediction. It's meaningful. He says, see what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand. I love that sentence. I'll explain it to you. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be in the law, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even those in the law do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be in the law so that they can boast about bringing you into the law. Boy, that's a mouthful. See, in these last sentences, Paul's emphasizing in the bold scrawls of his personal handwriting the immense importance of what he has written to us in this passage. Those people who are attempting to force the ways of the law on you have only one motive. They want an easy way to look good in front of others. They lack the courage to live by a faith that shares in Christ's suffering and death. Do you want a faith that only works when things are going your way? Or do you want a faith, a true faith in Christ, that is with you, working for you, even when you are down, out, suffering, when the flood waters rise and swirl around you, and there are all kinds of floods in the world, not just those made up of water? When stuff is not going your way, don't you want a true faith that works for you even in the bad times? Those that just want you to be in the law so that they can boast about their success in recruiting you to their side, those are people with a short-sighted, contemptible faith. Paul says, may I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For for neither circumcision or uncircumcision are anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. See, Paul's saying, for my part, I'm going to boast about nothing but the cross of Christ. Because of that cross, I've been crucified in relation to the world. I've been set free from all that stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into the little patterns that they dictate. There's a central issue at stake here in this message. It's not what you and I do, whether we submit to the law or not. It's what God is doing, and what He's doing is creating something totally new, which is a free life. It's the real liberty and freedom that we celebrate, because all people who walk in this standard are the true people of God, His chosen people. So if we've just celebrated our nation's independence from tyranny, it was a hard-fought battle for liberty and freedom. We have to remember that freedom always comes with a price. It's a price that's paid for with the blood of the righteous. And so our freedom as the people of God comes with a price paid for in the blood of the author of righteousness, Jesus Christ. He is the only one who brings life. He's the only one who brings liberty. He's the only one who brings freedom. There's no other way to get it. Because you truly reap what you sow. If you sow unrighteousness, you lose your freedom. But if you sow righteousness, you gain your freedom. It's a simple formula for life, and it's given to us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so this message about bearing one another's burdens applies even in the midst of everything that's gone on this week. Because whether it's something of our own making that's caused us to struggle and be oppressed and to be downtrodden, or it's something that was completely unforeseen and beyond our control that has us struggling and under the tremendous weight of the flood waters. It falls upon us as the church to help those afflicted to bear that burden in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.